There's this sound created that blanketed a city called Jerusalem and changed the consciousness, the awareness, the mindset of an entire city. You have people that crucified Jesus 50 days earlier are now asking the question, what must I do to be saved? Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it fills the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, what were the two natural manifestations seen in these verses? Wind, yes. What's the other? Fire. Wind and fire. Hebrews 1 calls angels ministers of wind and ministers of fire. Jesus said, you're going to see more than that, Nathaniel. You will see greater things, and it includes angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, I have zero interest in stirring up affection or affinity for the angelic realm. They exist. They cooperate with us. It's foolish to ignore them. Excuse me. It's foolish to worship them. It's equally foolish to ignore them. They are not to be worshiped. I don't serve them. But they help to facilitate God's assignment in our life. Yes. To ignore them is not smart. Yes. So here, this comment is made. And in Acts chapter 2, there is this sound of wind and fire that comes into the room. Look at the next verse. Verse 6. When the sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everybody heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7, they were all amazed and they marveled. Verse 12, they were all amazed and perplexed. Verse 13, others were mocking. So it's a perfectly described revival right here. They were amazed, they marveled, they were perplexed, and they mocked. If you think you can have an authentic move of God without those things, you are horribly mistaken. Years ago, I bought these little geodes, you know, these little rocks. They're just ugly on the outside. Inside is these beautiful purple crystals and all that stuff. Beautiful thing. I bought some for my kids way back when. I said, this is revival. It looks ugly on the outside. It's gorgeous on the inside. And that's really the way a move of God is. It's just, it has to be experienced. You know, you find Michael, the daughter of Saul, the wife of David, was up in her palace mocking David as he was dancing before the Lord. Because worship at a distance always looks weird. And she bore no children to the day of her death. Barrenness took over where there was the rejection of sacrificial giving unto the Lord in thanksgiving and praise, giving himself in worship. We have this same kind of a situation here. So we see in verse, says the sound occurred, the multitude came together. I've heard throughout my life, I don't know if anybody's taught it or it's just been kind of assumed, but it seemed to me that it was taught that thousands of people all over Jerusalem laid down their tools, their toys for the kids, or whatever it was, and they all came because this sound occurred, and the sound was people praying in tongues. That doesn't make any sense. This is an international city. Jerusalem is an international city. to have a half a dozen people speak Spanish and Portuguese and Arabic and all these different languages is not going to draw a crowd of thousands. They're not going to leave the workplace. They're not going to leave their homes to hear a sound that is common. It wouldn't happen in Reading, not quite the international center of the universe yet. It's coming, but it's not quite there yet. It wouldn't happen here, and yet it happened there. Why? I would like to suggest that there was a sound that was otherworldly. There's 120 people in this room, and it says they're in one accord. You can have a band, an orchestra, in perfect harmony with each other, but be completely out of tune. If they start by tuning to each other and they're in a wrong, with a note that is off, they will sound together, but they're not right. And there's a lot of ministry movements that are together, but they're not right. They're not right because they're not tuned to the heart of God. There's one tuning fork. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's Him. It's His. It is His heartbeat. There's one note, and we all adjust to that. I'm not opposed to effort to be united. I'm all right with that. But I would rather see the people of God have effort to be in tune. Effort to be in tune. Because when I find that I'm in tune with Him, I find that I'm in tune with everybody else that's in tune with Him. The more I yield to what He's saying, the more I yield to what He's doing, the more I become the instrument in His hand simply to represent Him well. Suddenly I find my heart is just drawn to people that have those same values, those same breakthroughs. It becomes a unity that's created by the Holy Spirit Himself. So here we have 120 people that laid down their issues, and you know they had issues. They had just days earlier argued as to who was the greatest. There was Peter who said, I'll never deny you. All these people will, but I won't. There's all this stuff going on in this room. They get together for 10 days. I think it took them 10 days of prayer to get things worked out. Finally, on the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit, and they were in perfect harmony. What's the point? You've got 120 people that are perfectly yielded to God. It creates a sound. It creates a sound just like a skilled musician can breathe on the reed of a saxophone and create a unique, distinct sound. And we have somebody else with the horns, the trumpets, and somebody else. Everybody's breathing over that instrument that is in perfect tune. And suddenly there's this sound created that blanketed a city called Jerusalem and changed the consciousness, the awareness, the mindset of an entire city. You have people that crucified Jesus 50 days earlier, I'm now asking the question, what must I do to be saved? It wasn't just a stirring sermon by Peter. I'm sure it was powerful. I don't want to downplay that, but I'm just saying people left everything they had to follow a sound. And if you can imagine standing thousands, 3,000 got saved. So who knows how many were there, but they all leave whatever they were doing and they find themselves standing, staring, mocking, perplexed, wondering, asking questions at 120 people that are under the influence. A sound was created that changed the atmosphere of an entire city. And I'd like to suggest to you that every time you and I say yes to the Holy Spirit to do whatever it is He wants to do, we die to ourselves, we live to Christ. Every time we do that, a sound is released into a city. Something happens in the awareness, if you will, of a city. The consciousness, the mindset, the value system of an entire city begins to change as people start to think otherworldly. Why? Because there's something in the air. There's this sound that's been created that changed everything. This says when the sound occurred, one of the words used here in Acts 2 for sound is actually the word roar. So if you can imagine, here's 120 people. They don't know what they're doing. They've been together for 10 days. They're praying. They've been told they'll know it when it shows up. They don't know what it's going to be. They don't have any idea. And they're, I'm sure, honoring the Lord, praying together, giving thanks. And all of a sudden, there's this sound that comes through the room, and it changes the atmosphere of an entire city. 120 people inebriated got more stuff done in the following moments than they ever could have through their skilled gifting. And I believe in the skilled gifting. I believe in the skilled preaching of the word. I believe in all the stuff. But in this one moment, this one church service is the one service we can confidently say the Holy Spirit was completely in charge. Because nobody knew enough to mess it up. They were all rookies. They didn't know enough. They didn't have any traditions yet. This is their, like, their first time out. All they know is they're speaking languages they don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to them. They feel strangely edified and encouraged. They're a little bit tipsy, and they stumble out onto the streets. They're trying to figure out what's going on, and all of a sudden they look out, and there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands that are there, and they're trying to figure out, why are you here? It's because a sound was created. See, a yes in quiet is broadcast in public. A yes in quiet. There's something that happens to a people that just simply yield. It may be in here, we have our worship teams lead, and we stand and we declare, don't you tell me he can't do it. Yeah. We stand and we declare that even though I don't see him working, he's working. We make these decrees. It's incredible. You look at this whole story, this whole storyline. If you can imagine this, for hundreds and hundreds of years, there's been a momentum. Prophets have prophesied of a coming day. They've been preparing. There's Moses who makes the cry, I would that all God's people were prophets. There's all this stuff that's mounting, this anointing on the prophets, on the kings, on the judges, all this stuff preparing for a day when the people of God will carry presence and power in a way that is beyond everybody's comprehension. It's not just the specialists, it's now everybody. And this is mounting for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we come to this point where the devil thinks he wins because he crucified the Christ. 3 days later, he raises from the dead, and much to the enemy's surprise, the anointing that was on the one, the same anointing is now upon millions. The biggest nightmare in all of history happened in that moment. So this is building for hundreds of years, and we've got one service that we know the Holy Spirit was in full charge of. And look at what it says. Verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. You understand, they're all speaking languages they didn't know, but people in the crowd heard them, and they said, they're speaking the mighty deeds of God. Think with me. That which has been building for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years has its first intelligent expression in revealing the wondrous works of God. Of all the things that could have happened in that moment, of all the things, this preceded the conversion of 3,000 people. I'd like to suggest to you that as powerful as Peter's preaching was to help to bring a moment of decision for that crowd, it was put against the backdrop of a revelation, a corporate revelation over thousands of people of the wondrous works of God. They made a decision to follow Jesus because it was in the context of a revelation of the wondrous works of God.